All right, I will say good morning. Today's daf is Pei 80. We are picking up on Ayin Tes on the base 79b, the last line. So the Gemara begins today with the conclusion we left off with yesterday, which we're now, of course, about to challenge. V'cheivan v'l'rabbonon mesapkelu, o'l'rabbi Eliezer mesapkele, b'may pliki. So both say, remember again, at the end of the day, the way we left off yesterday is machlokes between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer is focused on choshishin lezera ha'av o ein choshishin lezera ha'av. Ultimately, again, do we take paternity into account when determining animal identity or not? That was the fundamental machlokes. Now, both say, now the conclusion we reached yesterday is that both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer are mesupak. They're not sure. Both of them have a suffix. Do we say choshen lezera av or not? To which the Gemara says, well, if at the end of the day, they're both mesupak, if that's really a suffix for both of them, then what indeed are they arguing about? What is at the root of their machlokes? B'may pligi, tap of pay, b'seh v'afilu miktaseh. I will say what they're arguing about is partial sheep identity. Right? If an animal, again, has a crossbreed, and one of its parents is a seh, is that enough to endow it with seh identity in all for all the different applications that we've stated? The Rabbanan savri seh, v'afilu miktaseh. The Rabbanan say that if even you have partial paternity from a seh, that's enough to go ahead and endow you with seh identity. And we'll say, what are the ramifications of having seh identity? So there are many things. For example, you would not be chayiv in kisrei hadam. Number two, you would be chayiv in osol v'es bino. So the Rabbanon hold that even partial seh identity is enough to vest you with seh identity. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer savar seh v'lo miktaseh. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, holds that no, that ultimately, again, you're only considered a seh if what? If you have complete seh identity, but not halach l'maisa, again, if you only have partial seh identity. Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, hilchach le'inyan kisei hadam umatonos. Therefore, I will say, in cases of a crossbreed, where you have an issue of kisei hadam, or I should say the obligation of kisei hadam, umatonos, and the obligation to give the kohanim their particular parts of the animal, lo mashkachos ela b'tzvi haba al hatayasha. So we'll say the only case where everybody would agree would be a situation of a tzvi, a deer, right, a male deer, which mates with a female goat, right, a goat or a sheep. The bein the rabbanon or bein the rabbi Eliezer misapkolahu ichoshishin lezera ha'av olo. Because we'll say that would be a case where we would say what? There's a machlokes, do we say choshishin lezera'av or not? In this case, you're supposed to remember again, the father is a chaya, the mother is a behema. So what's the status of the animal? Is such an animal obligated in kisei hadam? Because again, we take the paternity into question. Would such a child ultimately, again, be subject to matnos kahuna, kohanic portions? Well, that's only true if you say in choshishin lezera'av. Because remember again, the obligation of matnos kahuna is only a din by behemoth, not a din by chayas. To which the Gemara says, "Bein the Rabbanon, bein the Rabbi Eliezer, misapkalahu, ichoshishin lezera ha'av ilo." That both according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon, there'd be a chashash, there'd be a suffix: are we choshish lezera ha'av or not? The Gemara said, "The kamiflegi b'seh v'afilu b'miktas seh." And both said their fundamental machlokis would be: what is the status of partial sheep identity? Does partial sheep identity go ahead and show up in the identity of the offspring or not? Le'inyon osovi osovi espino, and I will say for the case of osovi espino, mashkachos lo bein b'tayish haba al hatzviya, ubein b'tzvi haba al hatayasha. And I will say the case of osovi espino would come up whether or not it's the father who's a sheep and the mother who's a deer, or the father who's a deer and the mother who's a sheep. How so? B'tayish haba ala tzviya. So we'll say, if you say it's a case of ultimately the sheep that is mating with the deer, uli isura dirabanan savri. I'm sorry, uli isura. And ultimately, I'm trying to figure out, ultimately, would there be an isur? Dirabanan savri, dilma choshishin lezera ha'av. Because I will say, maybe dirabanan will say, perhaps we are choshish lezera ha'av. And furthermore, again, seh va'afilu miktsas se aminon. We say even a partial se identity is enough to create se identity. Va'aser, and therefore again, the offspring, I will say there would be an iser of osovia spino. Rabbi Eliezer saver nihim nami dechoshishin lezer ha'av. Rabbi Eliezer would say, even though we are what? Even though we are choshesh for zera ha'af, right? Even though, again, halacha l'maisa, we do take paternity into account. Nevertheless, se va'afilu miktsas se lo aminon. Ultimately, again, perhaps you would not say that partial identity of the se has any kind of impact. It is only if the se is a complete se. Partial se identity does not create the reality, and therefore, again, lo aminon. Fine, lo aminon. So we're just trying to figure out all the variation of the cases. If you have a case of the deer, the father's a deer, and the mother is the goat, so we'll say, what would be the halacha? Ula malchus. We'll say the question would be, would there be a prohibition of malchus in such a situation? How so? Rabbanon savri, nihi nami dechoshishin lezera ha'av. So the Rabbanon will say, even though normally we take into account the father, right, zera ha'av, se, therefore, we say that even a partial se-identity is significant. And therefore, again, we would administer malchus in such a situation. Rabbi Eliezer savar, isura iser, malchus, malchus leka. Rabbi Eliezer would say in such a situation, there would be an iser, but no malchus. How so? Isura ika, there would be an iser. Why? Dilma in choshen lezer ha'av, v'hai se ma'al yuhu. Because maybe we don't take into account Zera Ha'av. And therefore, again, this offspring is mamish, a bona fide set. But Malkus Leka, but there are no Malkus, why? Dilma Choshesh in the Zera, because perhaps we take paternity into account. Vise afilo miktas se lo aminan. And ultimately, again, the case of se, I would say even what we'll call partial se identity, we don't say. I'm ready to do this. We'll say fine. So therefore, again, the machlokes ultimately, again, is still in the realm of choshishin lezera ha'av or in choshishin lezera ha'av. That will be the fundamental machlokes. Now, I will say, now I'll just tell you in terms of all right, you know, I'll give you the halacha. So the halacha of choshen lezera ha'av in general is it? Well, let's go a little bit vaiter, then we'll go back and show you some of the Shulchan Aruch. I'm Rav Yehuda. Kai, we'll say focusing now a little bit on the kai. So remember again, kai. Review this is kai is very bifnei atzmihi. Rabbi Yehuda says that a kai is what is a beria bifnei atzma. A kai is an animal unto itself, right? Rashi says over beria bifnei atzma. Velo miklai behema v'chayehu ba. The sira le'in chayim is resbo. So we'll say so. This opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. See, remember again in yesterday's daf, we said that a kai is the result of mating between a goat and a deer. A goat and a deer produce a koi. So we'll say, so the reason why a koi's status is somewhat rooted in machlokes is because, do we say choshishin lezera ha'av? In choshishin lezera ha'av. So because of that, its identity is a little bit in flux. Rabbi Yehuda says a little bit differently. Rabbi Yehuda says that a koi is in fact a beria bifnei atzma. It really is an animal unto itself. It's not a mixed breed between a behema and a chayo, but rather, again, it's a separate category. It's a separate category. Or in fact, really, it's a separate category to the point that what? We don't know, is it a behema or is it a chayo? V'lo hichriya bo chachamim, im min behema hi, im min chayo hi. Rav Nachman amar koi ze'ayel havar. So we'll say, so Rabbi Nachman says no, that ultimately again a kai is, I guess what we'll call a wild ram. Or Rashi says over here, a ram which grows up in the forest. A wild ram. Okay. Ketan Ribosin, obviously, according to Rabbi Nachman, if you say that a kai is a wild ram presumably would be under what category? Would be a behemo. Right? Because at the end of the day, again, remember anything in the ram, goat, sheep family is going to be categorized. Remember, right, don't get thrown by the wild. Right? Don't get thrown by the wild. At the end of the day, it's still part of the ram family. It can be categorized ultimately as a behemoth. So, ki tanoi. So I'll say ultimately again, this is imachlokis tanoi. Kai ze'ayel havan. Ultimately again, the kai will be a wild ram. Others say it's a mixed breed. It's the result, ultimately, again, of the mating between a goat and a deer. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kai Beria Bif Me'atzma. No, the Kai is its own unique breed, own unique animal. And Chazal did not rule, or their Mesupak, is it a Chaya, is it a Behema? Rabbi Shimon Eliel Omer, Min Behema here. Rabbi Shimon Eliel says, no, a Kai is definitely a behema. V'shal beis doshoi hayu megadlin mehen adarim adarim. And I will say again, the beis doshoi, the doshoi family used to raise herds and herds of kois. Amrav Zera, Amrav Safra, Amrav Hamnuna. So therefore, just interestingly enough, you see a three-way machlokes regarding the status of a koi. So right, so we have the opinion that a koi is a behema. We have the status that the kai is a crossbreed between a tzvi and a deer and a goat. And then we have the opinion that says that what? A kai is a beria bifnei atzma. It's not a behema. It's not a chaya. It's apparently something else. Something else. Good. Sorry, we say it. Amar Safra. Amar Afamnuna. Hani izi debalo. So we'll say these izi debalo. Rashi says, first white line in Rashi, izi debalo. So these are these goats, forest goats. Forest goats. So what is the status of the forest goats? Ksheros legabe mizbeach. Ultimately, again, they are fit to be offered up as kabanos. Which Rabbi says is another way of saying what? Another way of saying what? That they are behemoths. Right? Because remember, again, you can't offer chayas on the mizbeach, only behemos. So if you're saying that these forest goats, ultimately, again, are fit for the mizbeach, then halacha l'maaseh said they are behemos. Savarla ki yahadu am Rabbi Yitzchak. So ultimately, again, he holds like that which Rabbi Yitzchak says. Damra kiyad Rabbi Yitzchak, eser behemos mana hakasa v'sulo. But so the Torah, when it goes through the list of animals, ultimately provides a list of 10. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, eser behemos mana hakasa lehet rachila. But so the Torah, when speaking about the laws of kashrus, so it goes in and enumerates a list of 10 animals, Rashi says. Shar, sek, savim, I'm reading Rashi, second of the wide lines. Sei, zim, ayol, ayal, tzvi, vayachmar, va'akov, v'dishonu, ta'ov, v'zemer. Ve'imlecha, od, behima, v'chaya, kasher, v'olam. So we'll say, ultimately, again, these are the only categories of kasher animals. So the Gemara says, Esther behemos man hakasov, v'sulo, are there no more kosher animals? V'hani, midloka, chashav, l'ubadi, v'hadi, chayos, shmamina, de'ezninu. And I will say, because these animals, these easy debalo, ultimately, again, were not categorized amongst the chayos. Therefore, what does that tell me? That tells me that they are in the category of ezin. They are in the category of goats. Maskif, we'll say second white line on Peyam Adalif. Maskif, Rav Achabar Yaakov raised the kasha, ve'ema, ayal utzvi prat. So we'll say, let's analyze the pasuk. Say that when the pasuk speaks about the ayal and the tzvi, right, the ram and the deer, prat. So we'll say that is a prat. That is a specific statement. Kol behema klal. The phrase kol behema is a klal. What do I have over here? Klal uprat. So the Gemara says, kol behema klal. Prat uklal. If I have a prat and a klal, naase klal mosif ala prat. Ultimately, I'm going to say when you have a prat uklal, so the klal ultimately comes to add on the prat. Therefore, I will say, what does that tell me? Ikotuba, that tells that there are many more kosher animals than the ones listed here. Imkain, kolhani prati lamali. If that's the case, then why does the Torah go out of his way to enumerate all of the specific animals? So the Gemara says, maskifa, so kolhani prati lamali. Suppose that's the kasha. So that's the kasha, or that's the pircha, ultimately, again, on this pratu klal. If that was true, that the klal is coming to be mosiv on the prat, then why spend all of your time enumerating these items that are part of the prat? Maskifa ravacha raised ravika. So ravacha raised akasha on ravika. I should say ravacha raised akasha to ravika. Vidilma mina da akoninu. Maybe this easy debala. Maybe they're a form of this akko animal. Amrali ravacha braid ravel ravashi. Amrali ravacha braid rav avil ravashi. Dilma mina de toe. Maybe they're a type of this toe animal. O mina de zemerninu. Or they're in the category or parts of this zemer family. Amrali ravchanan ravashi. Amemar Shari Tarbayu. So I'll say, listen to this. So comes along Rav Hanan, he said to Rav Ashi, right? Amemar Rav Hanan, Rav Ashi, Amemar permitted their fats. Now I will say, now if Amemar permitted the fats of the easy debalo, right, of these, what we'll call wild goats or mountain goat, forest goats, what does that tell you? That they are not behemos, rather, they are chayas. Because ultimately, you remember, the chaylev of a behema is aser, the chaylev of a chaya will be mutter. So if Amemar is permitting the fats of these animals, that indicates to us that they are chayos, not behemos. So Abba Breid Rav Minyamin Bar Chiya asked the following shayla of Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Hani izi debala mahu l'gabi mizbeach. Rabbi will say these izi debala, these mountain goats, or forest goats I should say, right, ultimately again, are they permitted to be offered on the mizbeach or not? So I'll say, so that's another way of saying that what? A way of saying ultimately again, are they behemoths or are they chayas? Amalei, ad kano pligi Rabbi Yosef Rabbanon ela b'shar havar. So up until now, ultimately again, Rabbi Yosef and Rabban are only arguing about what we call this shar havar. We'll say shar havar means a wild ox. This nan, shar havar, this wild ox, min behemahu, is a type of behemoth. Type of behemoth. Rabbi Yosef min chayah. Rabbi Yossi says it's not a behema, rather again, the shar by the wild ox is a behema. So the Gemara says, is a chayas. We'll say machlokas. So the Rabbanon is saying that shar by the wild ox is a behema. Rabbi Yossi is saying it's a chayah. Did Rabbanon sarvi? Did Rabbanon say, dimitar gaminon turbala mina de behemahu? The fact that Rabbanon say the targum, the fact that when the Torah speaks about this shar habar, we translate it, or I should say, not the Torah, but when we speak about the shar habar, we call it a turbala, right? Rashi says over here, so, metagalina turbala, mina de behemahu. So, the fact that we call it a tar, Torah, remember, is a shar. The fact that we categorize it as a shar indicates to us that what? That it is a behemah. Rabbi Yossi Savar, midika chashiv le bahadi chayos, mina de chayahu. The fact that it's mentioned, again, in other categories of chayos, tells us, or I should say, in the context of chayos, tells us that what? That is a type of a chaya. Aval hani divrei hakol mina de'ez ninu. But I will say, when it comes ultimately, again, to this case of the izi debala, everyone will agree that they were a type of goat, and therefore, again, in the behema family. Maskif Rav Acha Reid Rav Ika. So Rav Acha Reid Rav Ika is the kash of a dilma, Mina de Akko Ninhu. Maybe they're part of this Akko family. Amali Rabino Ravashi Vadilma Mina de To, O Mina de Zemer Ninhu. Others will say, how do you know to categorize it as part of A's? Maybe they're part of one of these other Chaya families. Amali Rav Nachman Ravashi Amemar Shari Tarbayhu. Ultimately, again, the fact that Amemar permitted their Chaylev tells us that what? That Halocha Lemaisa, they are part of the Chaya family, not part of the Behema family. Okay, Keitzad HaShachit. So, remember, so again, so just the takeaway from that sugya is, interestingly enough, I will say, apparently it appears that what we have over here is as follows. If you drill down to this, the interesting machlokes is when you have animals that species-wise seem to be part of Behema families, but yet I guess what we'll call it behavior-wise or lifestyle-wise seem to be more part of Chaya families. What is their categorization? Because again, remember, again, normally behemoths are considered to be more domesticated. Chayos are animals that live more out in the wild. So interestingly enough, you have these types of animals, or mostly that what? That again, species-wise, seem to go ahead and be a behemoth. Like this easy debala, these forest goats. So on one hand, again, they seem to be species-wise part of the goat family, part of the goat family, but yet behavior-wise seem to be what? Seem to be a bit more chaya family. So we'll say it's an incredible metaphor, right? Sometimes, again, species-wise, we look like people, but sometimes behavior-wise, we tend to look a bit more like chayas. So what do you do with something that looks like a behemoth but behaves like a chaya? Right? So what's the answer? What's the answer? How do you categorize it? It's a machlokas. Right? It's a machlokas. Is that called a behema? Is that called a chaya? a machlokus. But again, for our sugya over here, so therefore the categorization. So we'll say, so bottom line, it seems to be the one person who seemed to be exceptionally resolute on this was Ameimar. Because Ameimar allowed you to eat the chelev, ultimately, again, for example, of the forest goats, because he felt even though species-wise they look like goats, categorically they are deemed as chayis, and therefore again their chelev will be mutter. Good, weiter. So we'll say, says the Gemara, Kezer HaShochis. Remember, again, we'll say, if you remember, the Mishnah went through all of the different variation of cases of, remember again, you have a mother and a child, and the Mishnah pretty much like went through every variation. One is hekdish, one is not hekdish, one you're slaughtering inside, one you're slaughtering outside. I went through all the variation of cases in order to see what applied to Osel v'Espino and what did not. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Hoshea, Kulo Mas Nisan D'lo K'Rav Shimon. It's actually quite interesting. Our entire Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. Why? What does Rabbi Shimon say? So the Gemara says, Mimai, Midikatoni, because listen to this. Now, what we're going to see is Rabbi Shimon holds that Shechita She'ena Re'uya Lo Shma Shechita. A Shechita, Rabbosai, that is an unfit Shechita is not called Shechita. It's not called Shechita. If your Shechita is not halachically valid, it is not classified or categorized as an act of Shechita. So I say, so how do I know the Mishnah doesn't reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon? Watch this. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. So let's listen to this. So if you remember again, let's say you have a mother and a child, and both are kachim, both are consecrated animals, and you shech them both outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what happened? What did the Mishnah say? Harishon chayev karis. When you shech the mother, you chayev karis. Now why you chayev karis for shechting the mother? Because you're shechting a sacrificial animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ushnehem psulin. Ultimately, again, both animals will be unfit. Both will be pasul. Ushneim sofkines harboim. And ultimately, again, both will get malchus. The Rebbe will say, why do both get malchus? When you shech the mother, you get malchus. Why? Why? Because ultimately, again, for shechting a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And when you shech the child, why do you get malchus? For osobi esbeno. So it says the Gemara Michti. Remember again, this case would not make sense to Rabbi Shimon. Why not? Because Rabbi Shimon holds, an unfit shechita is not halachically valid. Therefore, again, I will say, Amadeus, kama miktal katli sheni miskabel bifnimu. Sorry, kares nami lechayif. So we'll say, watch this, because ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon will say like this. Rabbi Shimon will say, when you take a sacrificial animal and you shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbosai, so that act of shechita, that act of slaughter, is not halachically classified as an act of shechita. Why not? I will say, why not? Because ultimately, again, when you shecht a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what's the status of that act? It's an invalid act. Rabbi Shimon holds any shechita that is not a valid shechita is not halachically classified as a shechita. So it's as if, what did you do to the mother in this case? It's as if what? You killed her. So meaning, shechting a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, according to Rabbi Shimon, I will say, is the equivalent, ultimately, again, of knocking it over the head and killing it. Now, the ramifications of that are very important. Because I will say, if that's the case, then ultimately, again, the second animal is still fit for shechita. And I will say, now what the Gemara is exposing over here is something very interesting. The halacha of osol v'es bino, right, only applies if what? If the mother was properly shechted. So for example, I will say, if you go over to the mother and kill her with an arrow, right, there is no problem to shecht the child immediately after that. The din of osol v'es bino is dafka din when you shecht the mother, which makes sense. Why? How do we know that? That's the lashon of the pasuk. Osol v'espino lo sishchatu biyom echad. So Rabbi Shimon says, in this case, where you went ahead and you shechted the mother, mother's a karban, you shechted her outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that shechita is totally irrelevant, right? That is not a shechita. It's as if he killed her. It's as if he killed her stam. If he killed her stam, then what? Kama miktal katli. Sheni miskabel bifnim. Therefore, again, this child is still ultimately, again, fit for sacrificial service inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Kares nami lechayiv. Therefore, ultimately, again, therefore, the second one should still be subject, ultimately, again, to kares if you shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And you should not be liable to osovi espino. The fact that the Mishnah says, in this case, where both animals are sacrificial, and you shecht them both outside, that you chayiv kares for the mother, and you chayiv malkus for the child for osovi espino, what does that tell me? It tells you that the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. For example, Rabbi Osai, next case. Chulin bifnim, Rabbi Osai, so we're just going to go through pretty much a number of the cases of the Mishnah and just show why they do not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. What was the next case? Chulin bifnim, Rabbi Osai, what happens if ultimately, again, both mother and son are chulin and you shech them both inside of the Beis HaMikdash? So what did the Mishnah say? Shneim psulin, both animals ultimately, again, will be pasul. Vasheni sofeg yisarbaim. And I will say, you get malchus for shechting the child. Right? You get malchus for shechting the child, ultimately, again, because of osovi espino. So I will say, michti, shamin ne rabbi shimon, der mashchita, shen ruya losh mashchita. So I will say, according to Rabbi Shimon, what's the halacha? Right? A non-valid shchita, halacha lemaisa, is not called shchita, losh mashchita. Therefore, I will say, if that's the case, kama michtal katli. I will say, if you slaughter, if you shecht chulin bifnim, right? If you shecht a non-consecrated animal inside of the Beis HaMikdash, I will say, is that an act of shechita? No. Now, remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, any act of shechita, Rabbi Osai, that does not render the animal fit is not halachically called shechita. Even though, again, you went through the proper behaviors, right? You caught the majority of two simanim. If it doesn't result in permissibility of the animal, it's not called shechita. If that's the case, Rabbi Osai, see, remember again, the common denominator you're going to see that according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Osai, whenever the shechita of the mother is not called a bona fide shechita, then what? There is no prohibition of oso v'es bino. Therefore, again, in this case over here, where both are chulin, you shecht the mother inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Therefore, again, shechita, shalkama mikdal kadli, you've effectively killed the mother, but not through shechita, sheni amaisa b'gesarboim, then why should the child be subject to oso v'espino? Kadshim ifnim, I'll say similarly again in the next case, kadshim ifnim, harishon kasher upatas. We'll say, now watch the next case. Both mother and child are kadshim. Right? Both are kadshim. Both are sacrificial animals. You shech them now both inside the Beis HaMikdash. Good, sounds good so far. Harishon kasher upater. So the mother ultimately, again, fine, kasher upater. Right, they will say, she's kasher, meaning the shechita was good. You offered up a karban, upater, there's no issues. Vashini sovig esayabayim. But when you shecht the child, you will be liable for osovi espino. Upasel. So let's analyze this. Michti, shamin le Rabbi Shimon dar meshechita shen ruy lo shmo shechita. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion, he says that what? A non-valid shechita is not called shechita. So shechitas kadshim, this is wild, by the way. According to Rabbi Shimon, he will say, shechitas kadshim nami shechita she'en ra'uyi. Both say, this is wild. Rabbi Shimon holds that even the shechita of karbanos is called the shechita she'en ra'uyi. What does that mean, that the shechita of karbanos is called the shechita she'en ra'uyi? Watch this. The kama de lo zarek dam lo mishteri basar. Because Rabbi Osai, remember, Rabbi Shimon will say, what's the definition of a shechita ra'uyi? It's any shechita which results in the immediate permissibility of the item you are shechting. When you shecht a karban, does that result in the immediate permissibility of the karban? No. What do you still have to do? Zrika. So Rabbi Osai, so this is pretty wild. So Rabbi Shimon will say that even when you shecht a totally kosher carbon, right? I'm shechting a carbon inside the Beis HaMikdash, that is still called a shechita she'ina ru'uya. Now Rabbi Osai, now what's the ramifications of saying that that's shechita she'ina ru'uya? Therefore what? The child will not be subject to oso v'es bino. So Rabbi Osai, so this is actually pretty wild. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you could have a case of a totally bona fide shechita, But Rabbi said, now we're further defining it. According to Rabbi Shimon, what is a shechita re'uya? It is a shechita which immediately permits the animal. If the shechita is a kasha shechita, but does not immediately permit the animal, it's called the shechita she'ena re'uya. And if it's a shechita she'ena re'uya, then its offspring is not subject to osovia spino. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, she'ni amai sofeg esar boim upasol. If that's the case, I will say that shechita of kavanos is not called the shechita re'uya, then what? Then its offspring ultimately again should not be subject to osovi espino. So I will say, so bottom line says the Gemara, el v'shmamina dul krebi shimin. What's the takeaway? The takeaway is, it is abundantly clear, explicitly clear, unequivocally clear, that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. To which the Gemara says, Pshita Dahisa. So the Gemara says, Shkayach. Like, okay? It's not even that it's a Shaila. Meaning, it's explicitly clear, it's obviously clear, that the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. That's obvious. So essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is, why the need to go through this entire exercise? Meaning, it's clear from the outset, I'll say no one's arguing, Rabbi Shimon's view is not expressed in our Mishnah. Why the need to kind of beat it over the head and go through all of this? To which one, I'll tell you why. Shechitas kachim istrichale. We'll say, I'll tell you the necessary case is that last one, shechitas kachim. Because I will say, that is the greatest chiddush. That case, I will say, where what? Both mother and child are sacrificial animals. Where are you shechting them? You're shechting them inside of the Beis HaMikdash. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said the mother is kasher upata, right? The mother, fine, right? Her offering is being a good shechita, being done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Al is git, right? And therefore, again, if you go ahead and you shecht the offspring, the Mishnah paskin that what? You are chayiv for osovi espino. Rabbi will say, that's the chiddush case. Because apparently the hava mina is, sagadait chamina, shechitas kachim shechita re'uyahi. So Rabbi will say, I would have thought that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that the shechita of a sacrificial animal is considered to be a shechita re'uyah. Daha inachar vizarek dam lo mishteri basar. V'chi shachat mishteri basar u'shechita re'uyahi. Because Rabbi will say, if you were to stab the sacrificial animal and sprinkle its blood, of course it would not be good. So I would have thought that even according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Osai, the shechita of a sacrificial animal is called what? Shechita re'uya. Kamashmulan says the Gemara that is not the case. Kamashmulan that halacha lemais Rabbi Shimon holds that the shechita of a sacrificial animal is called what? Shechita she'ena re'uya. Why is it called the shechita she'ena re'uya? Because the shechita of a sacrificial animal does not immediately and instantaneously permit the animal for consumption. Since ultimately, again, or for use, I should say, since even after shechita, the animal still requires zrika, therefore again, halacha lemaisa, we call the shechita of a sacrificial animal, we call it ultimately, again, a shechita she'ena re'uya. That was the chiddush case. Good. Velil kinami mishum lav. The Mechusar Zman, Sabosai says, look at Rashi Zman, Velo Kanami, Hai Shnei Kachib Ifnim. Sabosai says, now watch this, and this is quite interesting. In this case, where both mother and son are both sacrificial animals, and you're shechting them both inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what did the Mishnah say? The mother is Kasher Upatar, right? The mother's totally fine. What's the status of the child? So when you go out and you shech the child, the Mishnah Paskin, you're going to get Malkus for slaughtering the child. Why? Why? Osovi Esbino. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, well, you should get Malkus for another reason. The Mechusar Zman. And we'll say, that's actually quite interesting. We'll say, Mechusar Zman means any time you go ahead and you offer up a carbon at the wrong time. Or in a, we'll call it, when the carbon is time deficient, there's another set of Malkus set. And we'll say, now let's analyze this. When you shech the mother, so we'll say, what's the halachic status of the offspring? What's the halachic status? You could offer it. Just what? Just not today. And if you offer it today, Rabbi Osai, then what happens? That is the equivalent of offering up a premature carbon. I'll give you, what's the example of a premature carbon? Rabbi Osai, you're not permitted to offer up an animal until it's how old? At least 8 days old. If you offer it up when it's 7 days old, what's its status? That's called Mechusar Zman. So I say, interestingly enough, in this case, where you offered up the mother, so in addition to getting Malkus for Osovi Espino, I should also be in violation for what? Offering up, interestingly enough, a premature carbon. Because this carbon is fit for offering, but not until tomorrow. It's the equivalent almost of what? Offering up a 7-day-old animal, which is Mechusar Zman, to which the Gemara says, this Sanyo, Minayim Akala Psulin Shebeshar Veshebeseh, Shubalo Yiratzeh, but say, how do I know that anything that is possible, ultimately, again, in a Shar Naseh, that I'll be liable for Lo Yiratzeh, Tamud Lomar, Veshar Veseh, Saruah Vekalut, Limin Ala Psulin Shebeshar Shebeseh, Shubalo Yiratzeh, ultimately, you know, say, it teaches me that Halacha L'maisa, any time you go ahead and you offer up a carbon, not in the right time, it's under this category, ultimately, of this lo yeiratze. Lo yeiratze means it's not accepted. So again, I will say, in addition to osovi espino, when I shecht the mother, the child should become subject to this prohibition of lo yeiratze. Third thing where it says, you're right, but kika chashiv lavi de osovi espino. Nuchroi lo kachashiv. I will say, at the end of the day, when the Mishnah is talking about the prohibitions associated ultimately again with the offering of this carbon, we're only talking about osovi espino. In other words, we're not leaving out the possibility that these situations could result in additional prohibitions. It's just that what? We're only focusing on the prohibitions of osovi espino and not anything else. But not to tell you that it can't result in other prohibitions, to which the Gemara says, is that true? Is that true? The Gemara says, v'ha v'lo v'akachim b'chutz, delav nochrei ninu v'kachashiv. But yet again, the Mishnah did speak about the prohibition of shechting outside, which has nothing to do with the prohibition of osovi espino, yet it's mentioned in the Mishnah. Diktani kachim b'chutz, ha'rishon chayev kares, u'shneim sofkin esar boim. The Yerabos say, what did we learn in the Mishnah? Ultimately, again, in the case of the mother and the son, where you shecht them outside, so what did it say? The first one is chayiv kares, and both get malchus. Bishlam esheni mishum lav do osovi espino. El rishon amai sofek. So what so I understand, right? The child, the offspring, is subject to malchus ultimately again because of osovi espino. But why ultimately again? Why does the rishon get malchus? Lav mishum lav deshchut echutz. Ultimately, again, because of the prohibition of Shchut Dechutz, which has nothing to do with Osovi Espino. So you see that the Mishnah is mentioning prohibitions that are separate and distinct from Osovi Espino, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Kolecha deleka lav do Osovi Espino, chashiv lav nochroi. Whenever I will say the particular animal mentioned in the Mishnah is not subject to the prohibition of osovi espino, we'll mention other lavim. But whenever the animal in question is subject to osovi espino, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, we will not mention other lavim. So we'll say, so again, so the way the Mishnah is set up is ultimately, again, the animal that is subject to osovi espino, the Mishnah will not mention any other associated lavin. But the animal in the Mishnah's cases, which is not subject to osovi espino, ultimately, again, the Mishnah will mention secondary lavin. So we'll stop over here. I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.